The content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's financial objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should obtain independent advice before making any financial decisions. The Explorers podcast is sponsored by RM Capital, a provider of specialist, small to mid-cap corporate advisory and boutique wealth management services. Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald, Garen Perro columnist for StockEd. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers podcast. Now, exploration companies can spend their time and money kicking rocks in and around known mineral occurrences, or they can take a clean sheet approach and go looking for a game-changing deposit in a frontier location. Garen Perro has a preference for the latter, reminding listeners that it was the clean sheet thinking in the Australian scene that has delivered the Winu copper gold discovery in the WA's Paterson region by Rio Tinto in recent times, and the Julimar PGE nickel copper wonder of Chalice on Perth's doorstep. Make a significant discovery in a frontier area and a company gets rewarded for the discovery itself, plus a reward for having a first mover advantage in what could shape up as a new minerals province. So it's with real interest that Garen Perro is catching up with the pre-IPO Armada Metals, which is in the hunt for a province-starting nickel-copper discovery in previously overlooked parts of Africa. We'll get more details on the IPO in a moment, but in a bit of a scene-setter, Garen Perro mentions that the pre-IPO Armada has probably spent around $10 million refining its search to the magmatic nickel and copper potential of Gabon. Magmatic nickel copper deposits elsewhere in the world occur on or near the margin of cratons like Nova here in WA, Sichuan in China, Voisey's Bay in Canada, and the Rilsk in Russia. Now, that's probably enough from Garen Perro. We have Armada's MD and CEO, Ross McGowan, with us today to fill us in on the Armada story and its IPO journey. G'day, Ross. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Barry.
Now, Ross, before looking at the Gabon project, it's fair to say you've got to have technical smarts to take on frontier areas. Tell us about the technical team at Armada, touching on your own award-winning involvement in Ivanhoe's Tier 1 Kamoa discovery over there in the DRC, and the involvement of some others in Kamoa, as well as Olympic Dam here in South Australia.
Thanks, Barry. Yes, so Armada's very much a technical team. We're coming off the back of being part of a major discovery in the DRC, that's Kamoa, now one of the largest high-grade deposits globally. I was on that team. I've been involved in Central African copper for over 20 years. And then the technical team, yeah, we've got Thomas Rogers, who ran those programs on the ground for 7 years through the Kamoa discovery, 20 years of project experience in Africa, and a co-recipient of the PDAC Thayer Lindsley Award for an international mineral discovery. That's for Kamoa in 2015. So, you know, a key guy on our team. And Thomas is supported by Douglas Haynes as technical advisor, also a winner of that 2015 award. He was on the Kamoa discovery team, but also a lot of global experience with deposits and discovery, as you say, included in that is the Olympic Dam discovery. And then also we've got Anton Esterhuizen, who's a, you know, a geologist with a significant technical and commercial success here in Africa and also award-winning. So a very strong team with a track record of discovery this side in Africa.
But just on Africa itself, recently we've seen BHP saying, that BHP might be looking at a copper project acquisition in DRC. We've got Rio Tinto saying that some of the red light areas of the world are now green lights, i.e. Africa. Are you sensing because of the the decarbonisation, electrification of the world, the world needs more nickel, needs more copper, that Africa's coming back into the frame in a big way?
Absolutely, yes. I mean, there's still parts of Africa that are significantly relatively underexplored to other parts of the world. And I think you'd be crazy not to be looking for nickel and copper in this part of the world. I mean, there's still major areas that are underexplored. There's still craton margins that are underexplored. And I think that's why a lot of the big companies are coming back here. And the reality is, you know, there's been an underinvestment in exploration over a number of years now. That's starting to pick up. And you know, we need that exploration investment and exploration energy to find the new world-class deposits or new tier one deposits that are going to supply the world, you know, in the near to long future.
Now, let's get a background on the Gabon project. What have you got there?
Sure. So, you know, a few years ago, coming back off the back of that discovery in the DRC, we started looking for other areas in Africa that are unexplored. Now, in Gabon, you're sitting there on the western edge of the Congo Craton. We actually went into this area. We targeted an area of 16,000 square k's. As you say, we spent the $10 million. But what we've now focused on is an area in southern Gabon, prospective for magmatic nickel-copper or a magmatic nickel-copper mineralizing system. And we have licenses covering 3,000 kilometers squared, which are 100% held through the company. We've taken that as far as we've now got drill-ready targets. We want to drill those targets post our IPO as early as January. But we really see this as a district-scale, multi-project discovery and exploration opportunity for these key commodities.
Okay. So you are pretty much by yourselves there in southern Gabon, or have others moved into the area as well?
Yeah, look, I think, Gabon has it's an oil economy, or previously, and it has an emerging metals extractive industry. But of course, exploration has to catch up to feed resources into that extractive industry. There are a number of companies exploring. There's not a huge number of companies doing early stage exploration like us. There's a couple of other listed Australian companies also busy in Gabon. So we do have, there are companies now starting to go there and commence exploration.
Now, you mentioned you've worked up drill targets. How many do you have? And just confirm when you expect to be drilling the first ones.
Yeah, well, if I step back a little bit, the reason why we like this area, one is the macro setting. We're sitting on this Congo margin. We're sitting on this major structure, and you need that kind of setting for these big nickel copper magmatic systems. Secondly, on the ground we have real signs that a system is in place. We've mapped disseminated sulfides at surface. We've collected rock samples. We've mapped out an ultramafic mafic intrusive complex, which is intruded into a granitic basement. And we've got significant soil geochemistry at surface. And then the third stage of what we have to do is drill subsurface to identify where metals and sulfides may have trapped or collated. And that's where we employ geophysics to model out these things. We've used ground gravity. We've used an EM survey where we've identified, a number of plates subsurface that's really now driving our drill programs. So it's a hugely exciting time for us. We've got 5 drill targets out of a total of 18 targets regionally. And we're going to put those first drill holes down. I mean, it's why us as explorers, we get up in the morning and do what we do, taking an area that's completely unexplored and putting those first holes down.
Well, a lot of drill targets there, 5 worked up or prioritized, I guess. If you had to pick one, just tell us its name and why in particular that will be the first to be hit with the drill bit.
Absolutely. We have 5 drill targets across what we call our Libonga Machiti trend. That's a 25-kilometer trend of mafic, ultramafics that we've mapped out. Libonga North is our key target. That's where we're planning 5 to 6 drill holes as early as possible in January for a total of about 1,800 to 2,000 meters. So that's where we're going to be putting those first drill holes down.
Are they particularly deep holes? Or?
Not particularly. These conductors look like they're around 150 to 350 meters depth. So we're not drilling hugely deep holes. We're not going to be drilling lines of holes and just seeing what's going on. We've already modeled these things. We know exactly what we're targeting subsurface. So we've got about 5 to 6 holes, as I say, anywhere between 100 to 350 meters depth. And we'll be drilling a total of 3,000 meters in our first drill program through January and February next year.
And I don't know what the assay lab situation is like in Gabon, but when would you expect first results to flow from that drilling campaign?
Look, it'll take us a number of weeks. We'll get samples up to Libreville, the capital of Gabon. There's a sample prep facility up there. We'll get these samples crushed and pulped. We'll be able to get some initial XRF readings from those, but then we'll ship those pulps probably to Australia, where we'll get results back in 3 to 4 weeks. That's what we've done before, and we're confident we've been able to do that again.
Well, there you go. You've partly answered my next question was, Gabon is not a mining destination most investors in the Australian market anyway would be au fait with. What is it like in terms of supporting infrastructure, and I guess how supportive is the government of developing a mining industry to perhaps take up some of that slack from a declining oil industry?
Sure, yeah. I mean, Gabon's a beautiful country on the western side of Central Africa. It is French-speaking. Fortunately, we have a fully French-speaking team from management downwards. as you say, Gabon was historically dependent on oil, but it does have this emerging extractive industry. There's a good government structure in place. There's a very professional mines department as part of the Ministry of Mines, where we get a lot of support. We work closely with them and follow a solid mining code, which was last updated in 2019. You know, from an infrastructure point of view, infrastructure is good. We have a main road from the capital, Libreville, which heads right down to our license areas. We've got a small exploration base in the town of Chibanga, which sits just north of our license. And we've got a good road heading straight from there through our licenses to the port of Mayumba on the Atlantic coast there, which just sits just within our license areas. So from our side, infrastructure is very good. And we've also got a very strong local team who live and reside in Gabon. And it's, you know, I have to be honest, it's been a great country to explore in.
And I guess going back to the technical team you've assembled and the people on the ground there, you guys know your way around Africa, let alone Gabon.
Absolutely, yeah. We've been, you know, we've operated small to large exploration programs across Africa in 7 to 8 countries, been involved in the Central African Copper Belt for many years, where we've done anything from exploring through to project delineation and feasibility. So, you know, we've certainly got a very good operational team to get things done on the ground, get the holes drilled and get the results out.
So let's have a look at the move onto the ASX market. How much are you seeking to raise? Do you have a manager for the IPO process? And have you lined up any cornerstone investors?
Sure. So the target, we're targeting a listing in early December. That's to make sure our dual programs can commence practically as early as possible in January. We're raising a minimum of $8 million and a maximum of $10 million to fund an aggressive two-year exploration program, commencing with our priority target drilling. And the reason we want to raise that kind of quantum is that we want to have enough in the bag to commence assessing the regional potential immediately after any drill success. We're raising that money on a pre-money valuation of around $10 million. You mentioned cornerstone investors. We introduced RCF, Metal Tiger, and Cobre into the pre-IPO structure this year. They've all invested in the company, and they will be cornerstoning the IPO and continuing to support the company through this next phase. So, you know, we're ready to go. We're ready to drill those holes, and it's a very exciting phase for the company. And we're very much looking forward to welcoming new investors along for that journey.
Okay, and the IPO will equate to what percentage of the company post the IPO, post the float?
Yeah, so we're raising $8 to $10 million on a pre-money valuation of $10 million. So we have about 54 million shares in issue pre-listing, and we'll issue a further 40 to 50 million shares with the IPO funding. Sorry, you did mention, you know, our lead managers. We have a joint lead managers in place through Canaccord and PAC Partners. And they're the ones assisting this process.
And not quick enough to do the maths in my head, the market cap at the IPO price would be?
So post money undiluted, it'll be around about $20 million.
Okay, so plenty of leverage there to discovery.
The reality about this project is any drill success will open up this whole region, and we want that money in the bag so that we can immediately start putting a full project exploration pipeline in place and assessing, you know, the full resource potential of this whole area, not just on one or two drill targets.
Now, perhaps a curious one. I've mentioned Rio and BHP and others expanding their search for copper and nickel globally. And imagine the work you guys have done to date, it would have been a nice, easy one to package up and try and lure in a major with deep pockets to pick up the pace, as it were. Why the decision to go it alone?
Well, look, I mean, I have very good relationships with many of the majors who are operating or exploring in Africa. They are very aware of this project. We've signed NDAs on this project in the past. But I think, you know, from our point of view, we want to get these holes drilled and show the real potential of this project before you know, tying up with any major corporate. So I think that's our strategy. But what I can tell you is that this project is on the radar for the major companies, because if we have some drill success, the regional potential here is going to be significant.
And obviously any discovery you make starting out with a $20 million market cap will be a leverage response. So if you ever do talk to one of the majors, you'll be talking off a much higher base, which is always a good thing. Where are you based yourself?
So I'm based in Southern Africa. As you can hear, I'm British, but I've lived in Africa for now for nearly 20 years. I was actually born in Zimbabwe. So, you know, the whole team behind Armada are very much African-based. We've been living and breathing exploration down here for 20 years, and we'll continue to do so to see this project through.
So let's bring it all together for investors listening in. What should they be looking out for in terms of the timing of the IPO and then news flow once the company is listed?
Yes, so as I say, we're targeting that IPO early December. The offer will be open from early to mid-November. We look forward to welcoming new investors in, because these holes are going to get drilled in January and February. And I, you know, by the end of the first quarter next year, we want to be seeing significant news flow from this project and quickly then planning our aggressive drill programs for what is the major dry season in Gabon between July and October next year. So 2022 is a very news heavy year for us, I hope, and a real game-changing moment from this company, from its exploration phase into what I hope will be a resource development phase.
I'll just finish off with a quick one. Why the ASX and say not London for the listing?
I think the Australian market understand these nickel-copper deposits and these nickel-copper systems very well. As you mentioned at the beginning, there's a number of these magmatic systems sitting on craton margins in Australia. I think that's one key reason. Also, we introduced RCF, Metal Tiger and Cobre into the company recently. On the board, we have Rick Anton, who's a lawyer and chairman of the company, been involved in mineral resource companies for many years, and also Martin Holland, CEO of Cobre, and Metal Tiger's CEO, Michael McNeely, both with a lot of African project experience, and both companies listed on the ASX. So it was a natural choice for us to list on the ASX. And I think the Australian market really like good exploration drill stories.
Does it ever. So with that, Ross, thanks very much for your time. You've got an interesting story there to tell, and sure the IPO will go off well, and we will be watching with interest as you get drilling in 2022. So good luck with it all, and thanks for your time.
Thanks, Barry.
This episode of the Explorers Podcast was sponsored by RM Corporate Finance, an active participant in emerging companies around the globe.